you for Joe. We ask that you would continue to speak clearly through him as he seeks to open your word to us today. Amen.
Amen. It's been a manic couple of days in this household. It seems there's been an endless flow of food from the kitchen to the table, and the drink, well, all types of it has been flowing. I said to the missus, Elizabeth, I've never known a season like this, dear. And she agreed. It's certainly been a unique few days, my dear, she replies to me. Especially having to entertain all those guests. Sorry. Let me introduce myself. My name is Andrew, and I work in the very court of King Herod the Great. I work here in the palace with my wife, Elizabeth. She is one of many who work in the palace kitchens. Her speciality is making the bread. I work in the main court, serving the food and the drink to all the passing dignitaries. You see, the trick is to keep your head down, not get noticed, and never, ever let the drinks run out. But enough about me. I'm a nobody around here. There is only one person that matters around here, and that's King Herod the Great. Let me tell you about him. He is known as King Herod the Great. And in his own way, he is great. He's certainly a great builder. Do you know, in his time, he has renovated the temple in Jerusalem, an impressive fortress at Masada, beautiful palaces with incredible painted walls, and you should see the quality of the mosaics on the floor. And he has built the port of Caesarea Maritima, which he named after the Roman Emperor, Augustus Caesar. See? Caesarea. Word has it that the Emperor Augustus, he said this about Herod, that it was safer to be Herod's pig than Herod's sons. And he's right, you know. That's another great thing about King Herod. He has a great big temper. It's part of the reason why I try to keep a low profile. You don't want to cross the king if you can help it. I mean, the word around here is that King Herod has killed off his wife, his mother, and three of his sons. And that's just his family. Yes, he has a greatness for violence. Although, to be fair to Herod, he has been known to be there for his people in times of trouble. I remember once, when there was a severe famine in the land, he arranged out of his own pocket for grain to be sent from Egypt to here to feed us folk. And boy, is he great in doing politics. You know, you don't spend these years as ruler of this land under Roman rule without knowing how to keep on the right side of those Roman emperors. And his connections, well, it has meant that we're always getting kept busy with the great and the good coming to the palaces, the people I've seen and served here. Philosophers, poets, playwrights, the highest of nobility. For example, let me tell you about the latest to come into these chambers. It only happened a couple of days ago. Well, these people from the east came into the presence of King Herod with a great fanfare. Them and their entourage proceeded to march through the courtyard into the very room of King Herod was sitting, and the oldest one, well, he looked the oldest, the oldest one, in a booming voice, he said, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him." Did my ears deceive me? Did they really say that? Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star rose and have come to worship him. Now, I have heard that these fellows like to study the stars whenever they can, and they believe that the events can be predicted by the night sky. And what's more, that stars herald the birth of the greatest men of history. But really? King of the Jews? They called it his star, his sign, which called to them to follow it, follow him. Is this the prediction in the Holy Scriptures that says a star shall come out of Jacob, a scepter shall rise out of Israel? And I certainly wouldn't put it past the Almighty to guide, to meet these outsiders, these people from the East in a style that would be recognizable and comfortable to them. But what really got my attention, what really got me, is that they say, born King of the Jews. Can't ever remember a king being born a king. I mean, normally kings are born princes and then later on they become kings. But this child, they say, was born a king. Something strange going on there. You could say unique, special. Well, it was plain to see that King Herod heard this, but it disturbed him a great deal. And let me tell you, when King Herod is disturbed, then all of us, all of Jerusalem is disturbed as well. And with good reason. Normally when Herod hears or sees or even thinks someone is threatening him or his position, well, someone or someone's usually suffer, if you know what I mean. Remember what I said earlier about those stories about what he did to his family. So yes, when Herod is troubled, the whole of Jerusalem is troubled with him. And I started to worry about the safety of these wise men from the East. But at least King Herod didn't attack these visitors there and then. Instead, he called for all the chief priests and all the great teachers of the law. And he asked them in front of these visitors where the Messiah was to be born. That surprised me, that did. That King Herod instantly linked this child as the Messiah, the promised deliverer of the Jewish nation. Even with these visitors requesting to see the King of the Jews, I would have laid good money that old Herod wouldn't make a connection of this child with the expected Emmanuel prophesied by Isaiah. I mean, in the past, well, Herod, he hasn't been too sensitive to the heritage of the Jewish nation. I remember one time he even erected a golden eagle right at the entrance of the temple. Guess he wanted to please his Roman masters more than his people. Oh, yeah, that's right. I haven't told you, have I? King Herod was born an Edomite. And to some, even though he might be our king, he wasn't the king of us properly. I always wonder, was he calling to mind where it says in the Holy Scriptures, where it says that Edom will be conquered? Was that what was disturbing him that day? Anyway, he called the chief priests and the teachers of the law and asked them, where is this Messiah to be born? And this group of the great and the good, they got together and had a chat. And after a while, they replied by saying, in Bethlehem, in Judah, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.
Well, we seem to have lost you in mid-flow there. "He will shepherd my people Israel" were the last words that I heard. I don't think it's an intentional still. So let's see. Give Joe a moment to see if he comes back. Joe, you're back. That's great.
Okay, where did we get to?
The last thing I heard was this ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel.
Wow.
So, over to you again. Nice to see you back. Quite a relief.
By the way, that line, I'm back in character, please pretend. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least amongst the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. By the way, that's straight from the mouth of the prophet Micah, that is. Now, Bethlehem is the ancestral home of what some consider to be our greatest king ever, David. Although, let me advise you not to say too loudly around here that King David was the greatest. As I said, best not to do or say anything that might get you noticed around here, if you know what I mean. Anyway, despite Bethlehem's distinguished son, it's not a very large or impressive town. It's about a 2-hour walk from here, and you could say it's a trivial little place. But wouldn't that be just right about God, eh? Using the most insignificant things to herald in the promised Messiah into the land. Gives all us folk who think we're unimportant hope, eh? That God finds a value, a treasure, a use of what we might think as irrelevant. I wonder if Herod was taken aback by the mention of Bethlehem, the place where King David's tomb is. It has been rumoured that he, Herod, tried to break into that tomb once because he believed there was some treasure to be found in the burial place, and he needed this to pay for some of his building projects. The story goes that King Herod went along as well, but when a couple of his guards entered the room, they were killed by a flame that burst upon them, and King Herod saw this and ran away. Anyway, that's how the story goes. Bethlehem, Bethlehem. Did you know it means house of bread? Maybe this child will grow up to be our saviour. Could say our bread of life. But what surprised me was that these chief priests, these men of the law, they had all the answers to hand, had all the information about where the deliverer of the nation was to be born, quoting Micah. But it was as if they just didn't care. It just didn't seem to register with them. You might go as far to say as they were not interested in seeing or meeting this liberator for themselves. Maybe they had things a little too comfortable around here in Jerusalem, if you know what I mean. And maybe they just didn't think that they needed a leader, a shepherd, a saviour. By the way, one of my duties around here is, while the guests were here, was to look after their animals and move their belongings to their rooms for safekeeping. And just as well I did. Let me tell you, I noticed packages of gold and incense in their possessions, and it got me wondering, are these peoples the ones mentioned in Isaiah when that great prophet said, from Sheba they will come, bearing gold and incense and proclaiming the praise of the Lord? I suppose that might explain, be another sign why they came all this way to worship this child that had been born. Anyhow, once the priests and the men of the law had gone back to do whatever they do with their time, King Herod called the wise men back to him on the choir. But you know, one of the advantages of being a nobody around here, being someone that no one takes no notice in whatsoever, it allows you to listen to things you're not meant to. Herod called these men in secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He then sent them on their way to Bethlehem, but instructed them to go and search carefully for the child. And as soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him. found it really telling that these important guests, well, they listened to the king's request. They packed their bags, they thanked the host, but never at any point promised Herod that they would come back. I watched them leave that very evening. The sky was clear, and I watched them disappear over the horizon in the direction of Bethlehem. Their eyes were constantly gazing up to a particularly bright star in the sky. It's quite easy to see their star now. Now it's been pointed out, and I wonder how we didn't see it before. And you know what? Whilst I was staring up at that light, you know, up there, I thought this is all pointing to this child, this king being the one that is mentioned in the words from the prophet. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of the dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar. Your daughters are carried on the hip. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To your riches of the nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land, young camels of Midian and Ephah. Not sure about the camels, mind. But if I am correct in this, this saviour, this king of the Jews, will not just be the Messiah of the Jewish nation, but will be redeemer for all the nations and every people everywhere. This little child, nations will come to your light and the kings to the brightness of your dawn. So I guess it's no surprise that some of the first to visit will be these foreigners. You could say a saviour to save the whole world through the Jewish nation, that Jews and non-Jews share this promise together. What a mystery. I guess if the king of the Jews, the long-awaited Messiah, has finally arrived in the land, this land, well, there are three different ways we can react. I suppose we could either react like King Herod the Great, being disturbed, being upset, being angry about being challenged. Is he afraid that this little child was going to upset his life, his place, his power, his influence? Now you've heard about this child, do you react like that? Are you worried that your place, power, influence might be challenged? Is that you? Or are you reacting like the men of the law and chief priests, like treating the news of the coming of the Messiah with a complete lack of interest? So engrossed in their own lives that this means nothing to them, that there's no recognition of a saviour among us. Is that you? Or will you be like these outsiders, these strangers from the east, and the way they want to worship this king, to lay the very best of what they have at his feet, a person born as a king, no less? The king we've all been waiting for, the one who will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the Lord, his God. And will we live securely, for then his greatness will reach the ends of the earth. Is that you? So there you go. Three different reactions. Makes you think, how do I react to this? Put it like that. I think I will go and talk to the missus now and see if we can follow that star and make our way to Bethlehem. I think I would rather we went and checked it out and see if the Redeemer has come because I'd rather check and be wrong. I mean, what's the harm in that? But just imagine for a second, if your reaction is angry or indifferent, and you thought all this talk is all nonsense, too ridiculous, and then find out you're wrong. Just how much would that reaction cost? Could it cost you your life? And if so, are you willing to gamble your life on that? Anyway, I've got some tables to clear, so I'm off my way now. So, toodle-pip, see you later.